Joe's a Joe.
Hi.
Hi. What have we got going on here?
Chapter 11.
Chapter 11.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry. Go ahead.
All day became all night, and the house became a prison that only served warm salad and cold goo. I was getting tired of hanging out in the kitchen, but I was also rapidly becoming hungrier and hungrier. I usually get hungry right after going to the museum, usually when I'm looking for Old Man Spellman. Dad never listens to me, but sometimes Old Man Spellman will. I encountered what the working poor would call Sir Thomas. I saw the armor at one point, I saw the pizza. I was tired and everything looked large and sweaty and soaked in carburetor fluid. Old Man Spellman's Secondal was kicking in. I knew because he was wearing a sable Brillo pad instead of his usual fig leaf merkin. I turned around and around and was face to face with the corroded end of Old Man Spellman. Yeah, want to take a picture, Mike? I'll save you the cold goo, he said. Mr. Spellman, fancy finding your ass here. Dad usually doesn't let anything that festers into the kitchen, but rules are made to be prevented. Old Man Spellman turned his fat ass like he was going to run. Prevented? Really? I was game. The armor, it's come alive. Come on, history is about to have itself repeated. I was game. This is what you want me to tell your dad? He nodded his head. This and the fact that the plane has landed before it even sat down to take off? No, I had made it in this way. I shook my head no. I want you to tell him that I don't know my ass from the dot in an eye. You want me to tell him what? Have you permanently clocked out, boy? Old Man Spellman knew I was a suede junkie. He was being cruel, like he was to most varmints and rodents. I breathed out as if enjoying the process. I was so hyped up I could hear everything, and everything included Sir Thomas's ghostly salivating. Until then, I wasn't sure that the grass was greener, or that it was just the other side of Dad's imagination. And there, set out in suede, was the Count de Old Man Spellman, grinning like a hyena, like he was the principal at a Finnish girls' school. His eyes were a shade of lunatic, rarely seen this side of Vapaduenka, Kuta. But don't blame me, I just interrupt him as I see him. Then it's time to die. Old Man Spellman won't know its right hand from mine or Carly's. He'll get a little emotional and then just flop over. He'll be limitless, but his mind will be a blank, just like every other stiff. At least he won't be a tired old bigot. He won't have to think, and he can take a cab and get the dead man's rate. I'll offer him my hand in greeting, and the upstart won't take it. Never send an orangutan to do an old man's work, Old Man Spellman told me. His lunch was starting to coagulate, and so was his corroded artery. He was falling apart and recanting everything he had ever said or done. Are you crying? I asked him. And what if Sir Thomas sees you? And what if this is an episode of Life's Most Antiquated Moments? Old Man Spellman was a bigot and tiresome. I don't know, Mike. I was under the impression the fire ants would take over and rid the world of all evil. Old Man Spellman looked like he was on the lam without being a sheep. Now that's not so bad, is it? I also look like I was on the lam. I'd whisper at night and only light would come from Sir Thomas's fire-red dentures and state-sponsored terrorism. But at this moment, in the light of the sun, we were like a pair of inoffensive CIA agents. There was a reason I was asking Spellman all these questions. Frankly, he was turning into a piss-poor version of a crybaby. But then I remembered Dad's grand plans. All the magazines. All the tourists. Everything except the ghost. But what am I thinking? If you don't have a ghost, you don't have a ghost chance at the Voyanama School for Girls. You know what? You're right. He could be a rascal, but he lacks a thinking brain. You are a disgrace to your dad, who's did every magazine on earth to this side order a shift. Every magazine. I like repetition. Television, radio, the funnies, everyone, Old Man Spellman said with his ass in the air. They ain't buying shit if they don't see no ghosts. He stopped breathing. And I stopped breathing. Yes, they go buy everything abroad, I said. Old Man Spellman turned around like he thought I was going to ask to borrow money. Don't ask me how many decades old I am. How many? Okay, I think I'll tell you. What is black and white and red all over a zebra? In calculus, no one knows when you fall, but if a ghost appears, well, go read about it in a magazine. He said this as if he knew how to read. Or go to a museum and look at the books there, okay? Suppose I do that. It's supernatural. Why don't we go bother your dad and listen to him complain? Old Man Spellman continued in his badass voice. And who knows, maybe Sir Thomas will appear just in time to leave a snail trail notice to appear. I sighed. That's a serious and unconscionable thing to spit out. Yes, it is, Old Man Spellman affirmed, like the sad jackass he was. I suppose you're right, I said. I mean, I suppose you're right to agree with me. No, I suppose I'm right because I'm in dire need of a diuretic, Old Man Spellman said coincidentally. I nodded. But I'm always looking out for Sir Thomas. Me too, Old Man Spellman told me with a palm in his hand. But now I have a tray following me. Would you rather be haunted by a headless Sir Thomas or by a tray? I got up, listening to the voices in my head. This morning they wanted to get their hands on some balsa chica. Great, yes, it's great for me, I taunted myself. But I still have to study for a fucking math test. Old Man Spellman knew I was right. Hey, Mike, ask me what time it is. I looked at him like the guinea pig looks at a sandwich. That night, I couldn't sleep. I think it was the reconstituted salami I had eaten, along with the blue and cold goo, and that just increased my preoccupation. I was preoccupied with Sir Thomas making a guest appearance. It would be embarrassing for everyone in the museum, and not embarrassing for anyone who had had their toes pureed. After I began my preoccupation with Sir Thomas, I started seeing ghosts and desperadoes. It was like I had drank a fresca and then the house began to rear up like a Volvo quesadilla. I was so preoccupied that I couldn't hear the house scream. Pum, pum. That was either my heart or the sequel to this book, The Revenge of the Preston Antifreeze Colonic. Pum, pum. Oh my Buddha Carly. Now the house is talking to me. Do you think I'm stupid? I went to go to the bathroom, but the sound was so intense and there was no segue, just a hastily contrived kitchen. A kitchen? Another kitchen? I shook my head like the sorry-ass ambassador to Brahua that I was. Carly just didn't have much imagination. No one touched me as I lit a torch walking past the museum until I got to the kitchen. Pum, pum. I heard it. This time I really didn't hear it, but I did hear Carly was 9 parts short of an 8-part miniseries. And part 2 of her miniseries was complete silence. She wasn't even breathing during it. She didn't move a muscle. That was until part 3 started, in all its braziness. It was like watching a boil being lanced or a penguin being salted. Sit down, Mike. Old Man Spellman. I didn't help that he looked like a transvestite in men's clothing. But there was no time for that. There was all the time that was in the world. Old Man Spellman lifted a finger to his labia. You're not very astute, he was so sure. I work my ass off selling quesadillas and all I hear is, Mommy was rude to me. What the fuck is that? Probably Carly. She has the subtle sense of humor of a retro rocket misfire. Old Man Spellman had opened the door to idiom, and now it was echoing all over the house. I had to come here. Do you have to come here? What do you think we're looking for? I tried to spit on him, but hit my shoe instead. It felt like I had just hung myself, like I had just gotten to second base with a used car salesman. Poor Mr. Spellman, I started. You're such a... Old Man Spellman stopped me dead in my obscurely soap-like antagonism. You don't understand, Mike. We have much in common. I believe that I am armed to the teeth in enchiladas, and you believe that a ghost in a bad V-neck sweater named Sir Thomas makes tea with old drywall nails. That's not something I'm down with. What an asshole. But I'm sure the world would be a much ruder place without Old Man Spellman. Or to use the vernacular, at least it would seem like a ruder place. I moved to the door, and the rudeness moved with me. Mr. Spellman looked like he was doing his best just to maintain during his bad drug high. All I needed now was for pies to start exploding. I saw Sir Thomas in his goofy cowboy outfit. His head looked like it was about to take the A-train to Asshole Town. This thing had guts. So tell me about yourself, your hobbies, perhaps? Old Man Spellman came in sense around. That and a strange olive glow. I'll get the final results back to you when you're not a hideous ghost. Mr. Spellman then started gyrating over the house. Yo, it was tight. And then, just as quickly, he passed out. Then all the silliness that had been passing as comedy in front of me went straight from my cerebral cortex, and I couldn't blame the shithead Spellman. He was passed out. I watched as Spellman pointed blankly at the lights. and as he solemnly stared, there was an enormous explosion. The plies! Fuck! There were flecks of large green coconut pieces everywhere. It was like mariachis or contras had come strolling through the house, murdering and raping everyone in sight. The flecks became mountains with huge hands wielding machetes, but my soup was boiling and I would have to deal with the flecks and the machetes another time. The flecks were in balance, hanging. The balance of a cowboy called Sir Knight. And now both old man Spellman and I were gyrating. And right on cue, Sir Thomas was getting his singing voice ready.
Hello.
I can't say words good.